The reading from today's scripture is coming from the lectionary that we've been following throughout the church year. And this week in the lectionary, we have been following a theme of walking in God's ways, walking in his ways. And it's throughout the scriptures in different kind of ways. You'll see it if you, there's Old Testament readings and there's New Testament readings each day. And if you need that information, you can ask me and I can show it to you. But I've been sending it out by email. So that is the theme that we've been following through. And it's interesting how the word of God ties things together in our lives and speaks to us over time. You know, initially you may see something in it and you're thinking it's saying this. And then the more time you spend in it and you read and reflect on other verses in the Bible that are, you know, provided for us in these readings that someone put together, right? These people carefully put together the scriptures so that we would have a connection to it. It's great. And really, I would say, this morning when I was reading mine, there's one for Sunday morning too. I started to feel really, really excited. You know, I just started feeling like, you know, there were some things when I got up and in the morning I started feeling a little bit kind of, you know, I'm tired. And then you're feeling different things. But then I started thinking about what God was saying and it just shifted me around completely. And I was feeling joy and happiness, you know, and these kind of things. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to read God's word and to know that there's a God behind this. So what I want to say is that these readings of Jesus come in a section of the Bible that are known as the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to different people, but he's talking to his disciples here and he's teaching them. And so these things that he says here are kind of in a pattern and it begins like this. You've heard that it was said to those of old. And then he says, but I say, to you, right? So he's not saying that way was wrong, right? He's not saying, you know, now I've come you to tell you the real thing. I think really actually what was happening was that the people weren't understanding or living by what was written in the Old Testament. And they should have been actually, but he came to remind them of really what those things meant. There were people who followed the Old Testament sayings, but Jesus comes and he gets our attention with that, you know, but I say to you. And so I started thinking, okay, so what is Jesus saying to me when I'm reading this, you know, and what am I going to tell you that Jesus is saying to me? This past week, we had a Friday night ESL class and we were looking at the verse that we were kind of, you know, examining in the worship time the last couple of weeks that Jesus says, I am the light of the world, right? Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Right? That's those kind of things. Walk in the light as I am in the light, you know, and things like that. And so we ask these questions. It's a pretty tough question for someone who's speaking English as a second language. But we have a group that is really into this. You know, their hearts are ready to listen to what God is saying to them. And so it was a real challenge for them, but we grappled with it. And I was starting to think that's what we all need to be doing, not just ESL students, but each one of us. If I were to ask you that, what would you say to me? You know, what does it mean to walk in the light? Try it. You know, you can try it. Just write down a few thoughts. What does it mean to walk in the light? It can change our lives when we do that, right? And then we start to think, okay, God is not just writing this to me so that I can read it. But I'm applying it to my life. I'm thinking, okay, and sometimes it helps to write it down. What is your answer? And you might think, wow, that's not such a great answer. But it doesn't matter. You're getting into it. You're personalizing it. You're listening to what God is saying to you. You're trying to maybe learn something by your inability to really write it down or know it. But it helps you to be prepared when the time comes to tell someone who is in need of knowing what that means. I know what that means because God is telling me what it means for my own life and I can share that with you. You follow me? So it's an important thing when we read the words of Jesus here that we try not to read too much of what other people have told us that it's saying, although that's important and there are people that will tell us what it means, but open your heart up to what Jesus is saying to you. I say to you. I know you may have heard all these different things. but I'm saying this to you, okay? So in the first part, you know, we don't have time to go through all of these scenarios, but I'd like to really concentrate on the first one and maybe just mention the second one. That it said to all those of old, you shall not murder, right? Wow, murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool to somebody will be liable to the hell of fire. All right. So that takes it away from, wow, murder. Of course we never want to murder someone, right? We would never want to do that. And Jesus is saying, you've heard that, but I'm saying, I'm saying you don't want to be like angry and staying angry with someone like that. Right. And I think he's talking about in that way, this word anger means to do someone harm, right? And a lot of times that's what happens. We might say something that, you know, causes that person to feel hurt or to be damaged. Words have a lot of power to hurt, don't they? I mean, they usually, nobody's like answering me. Amen. I mean, I don't know. You guys need to be a little bit more into this. Otherwise, I'm thinking you're not understanding me, right? So come on. Let's get into this together, right? If a person is angry, you can do someone harm, can't you? Amen. You can. And I have done that, haven't I? Yes, I have. Right. And that's what Jesus is saying to me. You may not have killed someone, physically killed someone, which is really, really terrible and deserving of that. And Jesus is saying to me, yeah, but if you have anger towards a person, that's a serious problem, man. Right. And you need to deal with that. And so I just want to get away from this for a little bit and go into what I really think that Jesus is saying to me. And maybe you can relate to this today. We have to understand when we're reading the Bible and when we're going along and talking about the Bible and being Christians, that it is not just we live our lives and then we go and spend time with God in church and then we go back to our lives and we do our thing again and then we go back to God, we join a Bible study or we might go to a fellowship or things like that. It is a full-time walk with God every minute, every second of the day. That is what we are meant for, right? We're not meant to be a student of the word. We are to be living the word. We are to be living what we're learning here. And the closer we come, you know, the closer we get into God's word, the closer in a walk we'll be with him, right? That is what he's encouraging us with here. And so God is walking with us before we are walking with him. God is walking with us before we are walking with him. It doesn't begin when I say, oh, I'm going into this church and I'm going to hear about God for the first time in my life. He was walking with me and he was involved with me before any of that happened. And so what we need to do is shift it around and start to understand that God is the reason I'm in existence. I have my existence because of him. Now, people may say you're full of it. You know, they'll say, you know, there was a big bang and there was this kind of stuff and human beings came into being that way and there was no one behind it. It just happened like that. They have a right to feel that way. I read the Bible, and ever since I was a kid, I read the Bible, and God spoke to me that he was real through the creation of the universe and that he gave me life, and I believe it. Nobody forced me to do that. I believe it because I encountered God. And I won't ever believe anything else because I believe that he's real, right? So God is walking with us before we're walking with him. And Jesus was not just setting the bar higher here so that he can show, oh, wow, we're going to set that bar higher because I am the Son of God. That may be true to a certain extent, but he's doing a lot more than that, I think. And it's a lot more than we usually give credit to in this section of scripture. What he's really trying to do is say, you need to look more carefully at the way your life is and who you are and who you are in relationship to me and to other people. And let me tell you how that works. And these other scriptures that we're going to look at a little bit also emphasize that and reinforce that. And you'll see how that works too. He was teaching. He wasn't just setting the bar higher and saying, you've heard it this way. Now I'm going to say it this way. So you're like, wow, it's a lot more than I thought. That's true. Yes, but it's not the only thing. He was teaching people how to live as they are made to live. It's not just like you're supposed to, okay, now I'm growing into this part. It is part of that, but it's really understanding that our whole life, when we begin in our mother's womb coming in and even before that actually, is made to live in the way that Jesus intends for us to live, and that our lives in our relationships are all tied in with our walk with God. Our relationships are all tied in with the way that we walk with God. So that means that if I'm angry at someone, right, my relationship with God is not in order, because I'm having those feelings toward those people. And I'm not, it's not making me or those people happy. It's actually doing damage. But I continue on with that, holding on to that, thinking that I could worship God and I can be in communion with God, despite the fact that I'm hiding that fact in the background. And God is saying, you can't do that. You know, he's not saying, he is saying, you know, Jesus is saying you're going to be judged here, but he's making the point, because a person who's murdered someone is definitely going to go to jail, right? They're definitely going to pay for it. They're going to be judged like that. But we have to shift that away and not think it's only going to be coming in those kind of extreme cases. It is a life of living in a way not to do things against people, but to love them. And until we come to that point in our lives and understand that, then we're going to be battling this way, and we're going to be walking with God this way. He's going to be way over here, and we're going to be way over here, and he wants this to be like this. Right? It's complicated sometimes in relationships, right? It can get very hard, but God is trying to teach us something very valuable here that is going to make us be excited and happy, because we're going to be free from all those harboring of anger and different feelings that we have towards other people, and we can walk in the light as he is in the light. We often go through life thinking that we can have it both ways. We can remain in sin in our daily lives and go to worship God at the same time. And God is saying, confess your sins, and then you'll be reunited with me. And then you can take part in worship. Then you can take part in communion, you know, and that's where he goes with this, right? He says, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, not that you have something against a brother, but that person has something against you, then leave your gift and before the altar and go, right? And first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I want to make two points with some illustrations about this kind of a teaching. First of all, how we can say that we believe in God and be totally blind. First example, there's people who go into a museum and they say, where is, you know, they walk in and they hear that it's a Rembrandt Hall. And Rembrandt was a really wonderful painter, a master. And the guy walks into the room and he looks around and he sees all these Rembrandt paintings, some of the greatest works of art that have ever been painted. And he says, I wonder if there's anything worth looking at here. Right? Or there's these women and they're all going into the Alps, and they're all excited. And they said, there's going to be a great view at the top of the Alps. And they go up this mountain and they get up to the top and they look out and they see all these snow-capped mountains and they see all these trees that are all different colors. It's in autumn and the vibrant colors are all out, and it's a real beautiful contrast with the green pines and all these different things. And they get to the top and they said, somebody told me that there was a good view here. I wonder where it is. You follow me? And isn't that kind of the way we are? Right? I wonder why God doesn't talk to me. I heard that he loved me. I wonder, I haven't seen it. I wonder where that is. And they can read the Bible and they're reading about it and they go, I wonder where God is. I heard that he wrote things to tell me that he loved me. I heard all these different things about God. I wonder where that is. Right? So we can say that we believe in God and we want to do all these different things, but at certain parts we can be blind as can be, right? We just don't see it. There's something that needs to happen inside of our hearts, and that's what God is getting at here. And Jesus is trying to draw us into that place where we can see things that we didn't see before. Right? A second part that I wanted to talk about was this idea of getting up and going away, right? And making things right with a person like that. You may say to yourself, does God really mean that? I'm supposed to just kind of leave my gift there and then go and be reconciled to that person and then come back and do that? Well, I think so. I think, yes, you're supposed to do that, right? We all go through life and there are things that we're putting off, and we really believe that God is involved in our lives and he's there looking at you. Like, you know, I was talking to Evan, he was telling me about his wrestling match, you know, and yeah, he has these wrestling matches and there are people watching them doing that. Right. And so there's this feeling of a sense of people pulling for him to win. Right. And so what we need to do is say, God is there and he's looking at me and he's going, I want you to win. I want you to win. Come on, man. Come on. You can do it. Come on. What's your impression of God? Right? But there was a time in my life when I was like going to, there's not far from here. I didn't realize it, but I used to go to bars and these places where rock music was played with a friend of mine who played drums. He's a really good guy, actually. He loved rock music and they really played rock music. I was really good, you know, and it was a time when, of my life, I was probably, you know, 19 years old, 18, 19 years old, out of high school. And I was working, but I was throwing my life away. I was going to those places all the time. You know, we would go and we'd just listen to them. We'd stand there and listen to people make music and all these different things. And just standing there watching them do it. And it was dark, you know, inside, and there were people, and the music was kind of cool, and there was drinking going on and stuff like that. But I was doing that. Meanwhile, I was saying I was a Christian, okay? So I was I was going to church, and I didn't put those things together like that. I just felt like, well, I like this music. I wanted to have some fun and do those kind of things. Well, in the midst of all of that, I left two colleges. I left Nyack College after 1 year, and I left Montclair State after 1 year. Right? Because I really didn't know what I was doing. I was wandering around and I was spending my time working at a department store and making money and then going and spending it at this bar. Right? So what happened is that this lady in our church came up to me and she said, you know, I like your voice. You should take some voice lessons. So I said, okay, I will. Right? From that point on, I started to feel there was something going on. I didn't recognize it as being God, but this person coming to me and telling me that in church who cared about me, she didn't know what I was doing in my outside life. She came up to me and she said, I think you should take some voice lessons. So I started to take voice lessons. And in about a year's time, I auditioned for Manhattan School of Music and I got in. And at that point, something went off and I realized that I'm throwing my life away and I needed to apply myself. And if I wasn't going to apply myself, then I was really just going to flush my life down the toilet. And so I not only did I do that, and I was auditioning and singing, but I took piano lessons. And I've long, you know, I stopped playing piano because I was doing so much singing. But at that time, I was playing piano, and I practiced piano in the church, and they gave me a key to the church so I can go in there and practice. And I practiced 2 hours every day for a long time. And when my friend said, you want to go and go get something to eat, you want to go out and do something like that, I said, no, I got to do this. And so that I realized at that point, it took me a long time to get to that place, but I got to the point and I said, no, I can't go with you because I have something more important going on and I need to do this. And I've fallen away from that throughout my lifetime, but that was what came into my mind when I was reading the scripture here, right? When you have sin against your brother, then go and get it in order and then come and do your thing with me and worship me and show yourself with me. But I need to see something going on there that is life changing, that shows that you belong to me and that you know how important it is. And I really think that that's what it means. You want to get there as quickly as you can. And the way that it happens is through God talking to you and bringing people into your life, like that woman that he sent into my life. And there are people, I'm sure, that are in each of our lives who are coming, and we may not know it, but they're there. And they're talking to us about what we need, and we need to listen. Okay? So we're in a relationship with God. We're in a relationship with God, and our lives need to understand that. Right? And so when God tells us to do something, it's important that we do that. And it's also important that we understand that we're going to have this relationship with him brought back together, where there is differences, so that we can live a life as he wants us to. So he says, go and offering your gift at the altar, and remember your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. Be reconciled. Be reconciled. That means make things right. Be joined together. Okay. I'm going to tell you a really fast story, and then I'm going to talk about some scripture in Corinthians that Paul, the one that went to Damascus and was saved, on the way, teaches to the Corinth church, and then we'll be done. We're going to go into communion. There's a film that I really like that I watched many years ago, and it always comes back into my mind. And I may have mentioned this story before. Forgive me if I have, but I still feel it's important. A couple of things that were mentioned here in terms of reconciliation. It's called The Man on the Moon. There's a guy, a good-looking kid named Court, and he's a farmer. And there's a girl named Dana, and they meet and they become friends, and Dana falls for him, but he meets her sister Maureen when he's going over to their house, and Dana sees that Maureen and Court are immediately in love. It was love at first sight. And so this girl, Dana, who liked this guy and was interested in him, sees her sister look at this guy, and it's like love at first sight, right? Maureen knows how Dana feels about Court, so she tries not to get involved with him, but they can't help themselves, and they become involved. And then tragically, Court dies in a farming accident, and the two sisters are grieving the loss of Court. But Dana has a deeper problem. She is angry at her sister for stealing her love away. So one day her father does something very wise. He takes Dana, the younger one who lost out to her sister, out fishing, and they're sitting in this rowboat, and it's one of the most important things in a film I've ever seen. He sits there and she's pointing away and fishing in one direction, and he's sitting there throwing a line in next to her and talking to her, and he begins the conversation like this. You and Maureen are going to be sisters for a long time. And Dana says, don't ask me to forgive her because I can't. And her father says, you have a right to grieve and to be hurt. But if you get yourself so wrapped up in your own pain that you can't see the pain of others, you might as well dig a hole and pull the dirt down on top of yourself, because you won't be any good for yourself anymore or for anyone else. And Dana says, you don't know what she did to me. And he says, well, I know enough. I know that hating your sister is not going to bring Court back. And then he says, Maureen has been good to you all of your days. Remember that. And that's the way the scene ended. So what we have here is a person saying, first of all, when we're angry and we're holding these things in, then we feel that our pain is more important than the pain that other people are feeling. We're so wrapped up in our own pain that we can't see the pain of others. There's another person. There's a relationship going on there. It's not just about how we feel, but it's also how that other person is feeling. And that's why Jesus is saying, if you know that a person is angry at you, then you need to go and you need to talk with them. And you need to fix that. And that's how it works in my kingdom. And that's how it works in my relationship to you, right? If you're going to be angry with that person, then you're affecting your walk with me, right? So the sooner you take care of that, the sooner we are going to be able to walk together and things are going to be good. I tell you, it's going to be good, right? And she said, you don't know what she did to me. And he said, no, I know enough. I know that hating your sister is not going to do anything. right? And so that's what Jesus, you know, speaking to us today is really talking about here. I want to just bring this to a close by mentioning one of the other readings today that has to do with this one in the lectionary, and it's from 1 Corinthians 3:1-9. I don't have time to read all of it, but it says, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you're still not ready because you're still in the flesh. Why? Because there's jealousy and quarreling among you. You are not of the, are you not of the flesh and not behaving according to human inclinations? There's quarreling and jealousy among the people in Corinth. And so they're still living in the flesh. They're not growing spiritually because they're stuck in that. And that's what they're doing. So do you see what happens when you're angry with other people in the church and you're doing these kind of things and you're thinking, well, we can still have church and we can still have this relationship. And Jesus is saying, well, you can't do that. Right? He's the, you know, he's not the father in the boat, but I mean, he's kind of like that in that he comes into our lives and he says, think about your relationships with these people for a moment. How do you think they're feeling about this? Right? I'm telling you, murder is a bad thing, but let's take a look at the relationships that you have with other people and see where that needs to be helped, right? And to think in that kind of a way, what a wonderful Savior we have to be able to talk to us about these things. And so then he goes on to say that they were fighting over who was better, Paul or this guy named Apollos. But listen to what he says at the end of this section here. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. For we are God's servants working together. Do you hear that? Do you hear the voice of Jesus in that? You're working together. You are not working by yourself, and you're not working in anger towards each other. You are working as servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Listen to that again. We are God's servants working together. We are God's field. We are God's building. And so we need to listen to what Jesus says to us. Right? It takes us from ourselves apart, not together, and brings us together. It takes the relationship that we have with God that is separated and not together and brings us together. And so that is what God, I feel, is saying to us today. Right? It's the most wonderful word that I've heard in a long time. Why? Because it takes us out of a situation where we are at odds and fighting and brings us into love. It brings us into the together that is meant. And that is what we all want to do. Isn't it? Right? And so let's go into this time when we celebrate Jesus and we think about these things. And I'm just going to ask you, if you want to come forward and you feel that God is speaking to your heart and you want to just kneel in the front here and you want to pray before we take communion, you're free to do that. And we'll just take 5 minutes time and we'll leave it up to that. And you can speak to God. You can do what you want. You can come forward and just kneel here, you know, on the front here for a few minutes and just speak to God and make things right, you know. And if you have somebody in your life that you need to make amends with, go to them and tell them that you need to talk to them. Amen. Let's spend some time with the Lord as we prepare our hearts for communion and just leave things before him. Let's pray. Thank you.